Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome Richard Herring. Hello, welcome to the show. It's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahelestapa. There's some cool kids in. I think some uncool kids have started calling it now. I have to think of something else for the cool kids to do. I'm very excited today. We're going to do two podcasts today. If you're listening at home, one of them might be out in a couple of weeks. But the first one, we've got someone who's going on to do another show later on, so I'm not going to faff around too much. I used to do a bit of stand-up at the start. I've got fed up of writing stand-up. It's kind of hard work. I've been doing stand-up for 25 years. It's quite difficult. And it seems to me that people... I haven't done that well. I'm here... not even full theatre, and most people have come to see other people, and it seems the most successful stand-up comedians just remember stuff. That's all they do. They just go, do you remember stuff? I can remember some stuff, so I'm going to try and remember. So the problem is the stuff I remember is never the stuff that other people remember. It's harder than it looks. Peter Kay deserves all the money he gets. You think it's easy coming on stage just singing the theme tune to a children's television show? It's not. It's hard because I choose the wrong ones. Like, Alias the Jester was a... Join if you know the words, was a space traveller bold by... See? Who remembers that? Who remembers this one? There's one person who remembers because my friend's in tonight. But come gather around me, space travellers surround me. I'll tell you a story of... Rocket Robin Hood, isn't it? See, the problem is it's hard to... You have to choose something that people think they've forgotten, but they haven't actually forgotten. That's the skill. I've chosen something that people have just forgotten or just didn't even know what happened. And it can't just be going, well, it's easy. I'll just choose something everyone knows. Let's see, I'll do a bit now. Do you remember 9/11? Do you remember when those two planes flew into that...
What was that all about? Who came up with that idea? I fly some planes into a building. So you've got to remember, it's harder to do. It's like Peter Kay is like the Family Fortunes of observational comedy, and I'm the Pointless of observational comedy. That is why I'm best. But anyway, I don't think there'll be much observational remembering. Do you remember stuff? What do you remember? Hard, isn't it? See, it's harder than you think it'd be. Do you remember when I came on through the curtains? Do you remember? It's just a couple of minutes. Do you really not? Do you remember anything? Because I just, if you don't remember anything, I can just keep on doing the same lines over and over again. Anyway, look, we're going to get on. It'll take me a while to get into this. I've forgotten. Haven't been on stage for a while. And just relax. It'll be fine. I've forgotten how to do stand-up. But luckily, we've got some very funny people coming on. And we are my guest tonight. You may know him from Twitter. You've seen his green pants. It's kind of slightly disconcerting because I've actually met him in real life and he has a head. And that is, he isn't wearing swimming trunks. And that's all I've got as his avatar before. So will you please, he's going on to do another gig, so I should shut up and we'll get him on. Will you please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Delaney? Here he is. He's a very handsome man. Look at his handsome face. Hello, come on in. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Hello, everybody.
Do you remember stuff? Because it's harder for you to remember stuff.
I don't remember much.
No.
I was just thinking, you mentioned 9/11.
Yeah, you remember
that. And I was thinking, it's a huge holiday in the United States every year. Lots of celebrations. People see who can get sadder, harder. And I was just thinking the other day, it would be fun. Do you remember earlier when I was thinking, that they should, like, grade, be like, the 8th anniversary of 9/11 was pretty good. Lots of balloons and things. The 9th, meh. But then the 10th, Jubilee, that was good stuff. Because the people, I mean, it's like a contest to see how weird you can get about remembering it in the United States. I don't approve.
It's an odd thing. So you've flown over, topical today.
I landed a couple hours ago.
You literally just come into and
truly,
I feel
from
more
Los
jet
Angeles.
Lagged than you do. Probably is the truth.
That's entirely possible.
And you're doing like a run of shows in the Soho Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre, all sold out.
Doing a week of shows at the Soho Theatre and a couple at the Bloomsbury. And I think they just released some tickets for Bloomsbury if anybody wants to go.
Okay, who wants to go? Hooray! Go and buy those quickly. You did come to prominence. I mean, it's weird because you've sort of trickled into people's consciousness, I guess, through Twitter. Kept on getting retweeted, and I kind of thought, do I know this guy? Is he like a comedian? Rob, because there's a comedian called Gary Delaney in the UK, you may be aware of.
I'm hanging out with him while I'm here, real.
Yeah, all the Delaneys hang together.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met him, but we just thought that we should.
So. Are you related? You don't look very similar.
Probably not. There's a lot of Delaney. If you go to Ireland and look in the phone book, it's just called Delaney. Yeah. It's just littered with them. Shitty, terrible people. Real garbage.
So, what were you doing before Twitter? Were you working as a stand-up before Twitter in America?
Yeah. I was doing stand-up, pursuing all the classical avenues of trying to make it and get hired as a TV writer. And so I was doing stand-up everywhere, all over the country, just nobody cared. And then after Twitter rolled around and I realized, hey, I really enjoy writing these short jokes. Because previously, my stand-up is not short jokes. It's long stories and it's just a disaster. It's like a train wreck. And and then I started doing these short jokes and I really enjoyed it. And then based on that, as much as I love Twitter, I'm very happy that I can use it to sell tickets on the road, for example, and perform at the Soho Theater tonight. Yeah. So it's, I won't repeat what I just said in a different way. That's the thought. People do that. They say a thing, and then they're like, why don't I say it again? And then I'll approach it from this angle. Maybe by the fourth time of saying the exact same thing, you'll have understood me.
But it's phenomenal. It's amazing. Oh, no, it hasn't worked for me. I've been on Twitter for as long as you have, and it hasn't worked for me. I'm not very good with these one-line.
The first time that when I became aware of you on Twitter was right after the Chilean miners had gotten rescued, and then like it was like 20 minutes after you were like, all right, guys, let's get back to work. And that really filled my heart with gladness.
It's a very fun way to react to things that are happening in the now. My guest in the last year is Stuart Lee, who I don't know if he's made it to America. I'm assuming.
I'm pretty savvy, so
I'm assuming not. He doesn't like Twitter at all. He hates Twitter.
That's okay. It's okay to hate it. It's okay to not use it. It's okay to just say, I had a burrito. You can do that. It's not wrong. I hate you if you use it that way, but it's okay to do it that way.
But it is interesting because you are doing something very different. So it is, you know, I think Stu feels that you can only do jokes if they go on for half an hour and repeat the same thing over and over. But I think that's what he feels. But you're allowed to do different types of jokes, right? You're allowed to do short ones and be like, but I watched I downloaded your show last night, £5.
Thank you.
$5.
$5, yeah, so it's like £3.
We don't even have dollars here. That's the joke on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be useless when he gets that money through. So I got it for free. I watched it. I quite enjoyed it. Can I give you some constructive criticism?
Please do.
So I've been doing stand-up for a long time, and you saw at the start when I did the ninth, remember how good I was? It was good. I think it could have been better, though.
I agree.
What you could have done, did you think about putting a Shrek in it? Because that would have... If you had a Shrek in it...
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, for next time.
Yeah.
Or you could just put one in, animate
After
one
After Effects, yeah. That's a good idea. I should re-release it.
Yeah. With a Shrek in it. Yeah. Not the Shrek, just a Shrek.
A Shrek. Yeah. A different Shrek.
It's just people like Shrek.
No, they really do.
They're
terribly popular. I think that's...
Because some people are going to watch it and go, I don't really like jokes about gaping anuses. But I love Shrek.
But if you plug it up with a Shrek...
There's a Shrek. If there's a Shrek just at the side, don't do the dance. That would distract you from...
Shrekking about.
It's just my idea to put Shrek in it.
Yeah. No, that's a very good idea.
Thank you. Give that a try. So it is. I did enjoy the bit. I do agree with you about the gaping anuses in porn.
Oh, yes. What he's talking about is there's a thing where I say, like, I think I might be talking about my browser history. You know how some people are like, oh, if the FBI saw my browser history, they'd throw me away. And mine, they wouldn't. They'd be like, Jesus, he's boring. Because the porn that I look at is like chubby girls with hairy bushes and saggy tits riding a bicycle going like, hi. So that's it. It's like, I don't even like it where they're like, fucking, I like just like women being like, hey, you shouldn't be looking at me. Like, that's the dirtiest stuff that I look at. So I hate that when you try to go on a website to look at porn, it's you log on and you're like, porn, and it's a big gaping butthole immediately. And I don't want to see a butthole.
They're quite obsessed with it. I mean, you know, an anal sex is a wonderful little treat. An occasional treat. But I just, sometimes I don't really watch porn very much.
Yeah.
No more than 2 times, 2 hours a day. But it's you straight in. You just sometimes go, just give her a kiss first.
Yeah, exactly.
Just at least a little kiss.
Yeah.
I like when there's a bit of a story to begin with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the bit I'm interested in. Then they get into it.
Absolutely.
I don't like it as much.
Yeah, once they really get into it, I'm like, well, that's enough.
Yeah. Right, soon. Get to the end. I like the bit at the end.
It's like a sandwich.
It's always the same thing. It's always the same, and they will just like a bit of variety.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Come on a foot at the end.
Yeah.
Just something.
No, that I do like. Coming on the feet, I do like.
But it's interesting because I think in the UK there's been quite a lot of talk recently in Edinburgh this year about misogynist humour and humour about rape and stuff, whereas there is, you do certainly touch upon those subjects, but I think it's from a very sort of feminist, or anyway, it's hard to pin down. You're a hard man to pin down.
Because I know what you're talking about, and I do. I have sort of a kind of philosophy, which is that if it's funny to a group of men, but it isn't funny to a group of women, then I don't think it's funny. I like to be very filthy, but in an egalitarian manner, where everybody can be like, I like that, or I hate that. Either one, I just want them. I want a man and woman to be united in the way they feel. So I don't find humor in going like... to women's souls or bodies. That's not funny to me. I enjoy filth and garbage and ferocity and anger and things like that, but not that kind.
But it's about, you know, it's about loving women for what they are, I guess, rather than, you know, I mean, it's more honest, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel, you know, like we have, like, the military-industrial complex, but then there's also, like, the beauty industry where people, now they're trying to make women feel bad about their armpit contours and stuff, and you need a cream to fill in the wedges for when you go like that, and you can see, and it's awful, or burn or melt all the hair off her, but it's so stupid, so I do try to combat that in my own silly way by helping people appreciate their bodies. bodies, because I'm like, look at me appreciating your body. Don't, see, you're enough the way that you are.
Well, I guess it's not preachy in that sense. Sometimes you get into these subjects,
you're not feeling
like, this guy is really trying to preach to me about feminism here. So it's not that. But then you do a joke about that black women should be allowed to rape you, which I feel has an ulterior motive.
No, should be able to rape white men.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking, there's a wonderful book called Beloved by Toni Morrison, and I talk about, you know, I read it, and it was just helpful for me to kind of understand the horrors that white men perpetrated on black women. So I talk about affirmative action, which, if you, do people know what that is? Affirmative, okay. Or reparations.
Don't patronize us. Yeah. No, not. Yeah. So, because we're England, we still know about things.
Well, okay, I feel like as terrible a place as England surely is, human slavery wasn't a big part of an economy as recently as it was of ours. So what I'm saying is that I think that reparations don't go far enough. You know, affirmative action doesn't go far enough. So that in today's day and age, if a black woman wants to hit me on the head with an axe handle and rape me to help repair history, then go ahead. I think that she deserves that. You know, I'm not saying she has to, but if she wants to, you know where to find me.
See, it's kind of morally cloudy, but it's...
I'm not interested in things that aren't morally cloudy.
No, of course. But it's possible. I think the point I'm trying to make is it's possible to joke about this. I always feel a bit uneasy when someone goes, you mustn't joke about that subject at all.
And then
there are jokes in every... There are jokes
in
every...
Yeah, there is.
And that's two big subjects together.
I think so. I hate slavery, and I hate rape. And I also think that humor is a really great weapon to fight things that we hate. So there's no such thing as a subject that's taboo. It's what's in your heart while you're talking about it. What's your volition? Why do we do things? That's very important to me. And if you approach it from, like, a good point of view, you can talk about anything.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's worth downloading if you want to. I think it's an interesting. Well, Louis C.K.'s done it as well with this kind of $5 download. Trust people not to sell it to all their friends.
Yeah, he did it, and a few other guys did it, and so it seems to be a model that worked. So I thought, you know, if I can use Twitter to sell tickets on the road, why not try to do it with a special?
Because I do this podcast, and then I give that out, but if it's free,
yeah. Yeah, just start to edge it up, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, everybody here is addicted. You can see the looks in their eyes. These people are a disaster. So they can't quit you, so you just dial it up a little bit, you know?
The people here have paid to come and see this.
Yeah,
they're idiots. They could have listened to it for nothing.
Yeah.
All they've got so far is you...
Well, here's the thing. It means these people are hardcore addicts. They'll be dead within the month.
Yeah.
So you need to find a new crop that you can push your wares to.
Yeah. The only extra thing they've got is knowing what he meant by the armpit thing, really, which I think you could visualise at home. Anyway, I was enjoying reading about you in The Guardian. You did an interview with The Guardian, and what's quite good fun is to read the comments that people have put underneath in the bottom half of the internet.
Oh, wow.
You're not supposed to read.
No, maybe I only look at it on my phone. I don't think that I saw a comment.
No, you can't get it on the phone.
To hear some.
You can't get it on the phone. I really enjoy, because I think this says a lot more about the person. I think this is a brilliant... quote, jokes about diapers, vaginas and farts are funny? ? Someone shoot me through the head right here, right now. I don't want to live in a world like this.
I want that to be real.
It's real.
Yes!
That's a real thing. Someone...
If
what's
that's
upset
real,
them in the world
if that's
is
real.
You joking about... A, it implies they want diapers, vaginas and farts to be taken deadly seriously all the time. So if you're changing your son's nappy, you must not find any humour in it, or that would be a terrible thing. B, that's what you're going to kill yourself. Not in the, it's not in the world, it's not terrorism, it's not child abuse, not genital mutilation. It's someone joking about a fart has made that person... Well, they can't. They're not brave enough to kill themselves. They want someone else to shoot me through the head.
This is a watershed moment for me. If that's a real comment, then I literally, like, you're watching me realize, oh, I can do comedy for the rest of my life. Like that, I have fuel now for another 5 years.
Who could think that jokes about farts aren't funny? Who could say? I mean, some of them aren't. Look, that one's not. That's not that funny. But there's some great jokes about farts. There's a good one in Ted, which I was surprised I enjoyed. Have you seen the film Ted?
I have not.
I was surprised I enjoyed this as much, but there was a bit, or maybe I've got it. I think I've got the right one. He farts, and then they waft it over, and there are some businessmen in the far goes to business front, they go, "We're here on business." they get very angry about it.
Are you sure that wasn't a TED talk online?
I keep on reading things on Twitter because I follow two very different kinds of people, and then I go, "Oh, they're talking about TED." Oh no, yeah. They're talking about a different TED. And I thought, did you ever have sex with any of your teachers at school?
No, I never did. I had teachers that I would have liked to.
Yeah,
I had sex. Cool. I had sex with a teacher's daughter.
Oh, that's not bad.
I did my junior year of college in France, and that's the third year of university, is what I'm saying. And I had a teacher. I wanted to learn French really well, so I'd go after school every day and try to get extra help. And she was like, "I've had enough of you. This is my daughter, and and you teach her English, she'll teach you French." And I saw her, and I was like, "Okay, all right." And then we dated for a little while.
Yeah.
But that's it. I would have liked to have had sex with her too, but she's dead.
She's dead. In England at the moment, there's been a case where a teacher is eloped with they've been found now, but he eloped with a 15-year-old pupil.
Shouldn't do that.
He was married as well. He'd been married for only for a year. I thought he was going to get into trouble with his wife when he... when he got, I thought that probably it would take him quite a long time before he can suggest to his wife that she dresses up like a schoolgirl. That'd be a really hard thing to approach. You have to wait a long time.
Yeah.
Then he might be going, I'd forgotten about that thing I did. Oh, no, it's nothing to do with that. But it's kind of a... It is a sort of... Again, it's one of these horrible... It is an awful, awful... wrong thing, but I'd quite like to have had sex with some of my teachers at school. I think I could have coped with it. Mrs. DuCamp, I would have liked to have sex with.
In fact,
if she'd wanted to take me away to France, I don't think she would have lasted 4 days with me. I'd have been quite. She'd be quite. I mean, that's what odd. If you're teaching 15-year-old kids, you've got to hang around with 15-year-old kids quite a lot.
Yeah.
You'd think at the end of the day, you go, "Thank fuck, I get to go home
and
not be with 15-year-old kids." You wouldn't want to then take one away and be stuck in a cottage with her in France.
I'm of the thing where, like, not only should you not be able to have sex with people under the age of 18 for a variety of reasons, I also don't think you should be allowed to have sex with people who weigh more than 100 pounds less than you. I think that once you're 45, you shouldn't be able to have sex with people under 35. I think there should be way more restrictions on who you're allowed to have sex with.
I'm not allowed to have sex with my wife for two reasons.
Yeah.
We've been married for 6 months. We don't really have sex anymore. Anyway. Yeah, you're right. That is unfair.
She personally is distressed.
That's my wife. Hello. How you doing? You can be my new wife. I have a rule. I love my wife, and I obviously want to remain faithful to her. But I have a rule that when I'm doing a podcast, I'm allowed to have sex with anyone during the podcast.
Yeah.
You can join in with that if you want. So far, I mean, not necessarily the two of us.
I'll come
I'm open-minded. I've got very little feet. You've got huge, massive, very intimidating present. So I also learned in the Guardian article that I've done research. I've properly researched. This is pretty much... I've watched this fucking show. That cost me $5. And I read a Guardian article about you and Wikipedia. I got confused because there's a baseball player.
I feel so bad for him. I really do. God, because I love baseball and the idea that some poor young pitcher, and he's like very good, and I just feel that people are going to be like, "Hey, you're not a comedian." They'll be like, I work hard at what I do and I care about America.
I don't know much about baseball, but what I was interested in the other Rob Delaney is that he pitches with one hand and bats with the other hand. He's a lefty batter and a... Do you not know this?
I did not.
I was going to start by asking you that, and I thought, A, probably you get it all the time, and B, no one would understand what the fuck I was talking about. So I'm glad I didn't start with it, because look, I was right.
Yeah.
Vindicated. Do you remember 9/11? It was good. What's going on? What was that about? That's all you have to do. Became a comedian. What did you do? You didn't say what you were. You had a proper job before you were a comedian in a skyscraper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I worked in advertising because I was in a car accident like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the United States, if you get sick or have an accident, they kill you. And so I had to get health insurance to pay for all the surgeries and things that I had after this car accident. So I wound up getting a job in advertising, and I hated it a lot, but I would like fail upward, you know, or other people would quit or commit suicide. So then I'd get their job. And so I had some measure of success all the while doing stand up at night until, yeah, then, you know, 5 years ago, I just quit all that and dove into abject poverty. And then I'm slowly pulling out of it.
Yeah. So what did the car crash? You break all your arms and legs?
I broke my arms. I didn't break my legs. No, they were damaged, but they were not broken. But they were... I did have to wear leg stabilizers for a while so that my knees could just have a break from bending.
Is that like little wheels?
Sort of. It's like a big Velcro sock with like metal bars. So you just kind of walk around like that. And it's fun.
Quite exciting. But you were drink driving when you crashed.
Yeah, yeah, I don't remember any of it. I was in a blackout. I drank. That's how I drank. And I went to sleep on a friend's floor. And then in the middle of the night, I got up and went for a drive into a building. And nobody else was involved, but I did break both my arms and wound up in jail in a wheelchair. And yeah, then as a result, I quit drinking.
But you crashed into the LA Department of Water and Power.
Correct, yes.
Do they keep those things together in LA? Because that's dangerous, isn't it? They should separate. You're lucky you didn't get electrocuted.
I know, very fortunate.
I'd keep those as far apart as possible. It's my advice to LA. It's going to be an earthquake in there as well. It's all kind of come crashing down. It's going to be a disaster. So was that kind of an epiphany moment, though, where you come
from?
Oh, yeah.
I had wanted to quit for a long time before, but nothing that dramatic had happened. I would just ruin like relationships or beds, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, well, if people are gonna die, I don't want to drink that bad, you know. So I stopped.
Yeah, I should stop really.
Well, no, only if,
only
you know,
if I drive into
you do
something.
Cost-benefit analysis. Like, what's going to happen? Are you going to die, you know, a few years earlier? Who gives a shit, you know? Yeah. Is your marriage going to be miserable? That doesn't matter. But if you're going to really... And if vehicular homicide comes into play, I say then you should stop.
Yeah. And you asked the police if you'd killed anyone, and that was...
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I didn't know. And then they told me that I hadn't. So I said, well, I can pull out of this. It'll take a decade. But I can get better.
Yeah. But a lot of comedians, I mean, you seem very together and very like a regular man. But a lot of comedians are kind of quite screwed up.
I mean...
I know, Justin Lee Collins. What? I just said his name. I haven't made him write down his sexual history in a book. What's wrong with you? In a pucker pad. That's the thing. I've just become obsessed with the pucker pad. Because why? Every news report says. I mean, this is a British. I mean, I was going to say comedian, but it's horrible. So I'm very upset on behalf of. They get very upset. Wait till I'm on to Jimmy Savile. How dare you criticise Jimmy Savile and Justin Lee Collins? What have they done? Punching women in the vagina. I mean, come on. That's Jimmy Savile I'm talking about. Can't libel the dead. So.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
quickly?
Carry on.
I used to punch women in the vagina. In the sense that when I just realized this, like, I'm 35. I really only, I think, like, last August learned how to properly stimulate a woman's vagina with my hand. Because when I was younger, I used to, you go in there and you'd be like, you don't know what you're doing. And they don't like that at all.
No.
And I'd be like, women just must not like having their vagina touched. And then, like, my wife, like, last year for my birthday was like, I'm going to show you properly. And so I think I might go on a little tour around the Northeast United States where I grew up and just visit women that in the past that I tried to finger and be like, FYI.
But what interests me about Justin Lee Collins, not only because it might all be lies, who knows, I don't know, but they keep going on about the brand name of the pad, the stuff. Why is it just, why do they not say he made me write down my sexual history in a pad? That's all you'd...
why is the brand name of the pad so important?
Details are always
that it gets in all the news reports. So all the news reports says he made to write his sexual history in a pucker pad. Is it because it's pucker that makes it more true? I don't know. Is that... Do you not find that weird that they name... Or do you think pucker have sponsored the woman who's claiming that Justin Lee Collins... We need an outlook. Get pucker pads more in the public consciousness and give people ideas of how to use them, because people buy a pad, they think, what am I going to do with that pad? What you can do with it is get women to write their sexual histories in it, and then you can use that for reference later on. If you're having sex and going, well, are you going to do this? And go, no, I'm not going to do that. And go, excuse me. Just get my pucker pad. That's what it's for.
I will say this. When I first ever used the Excel spreadsheet program in a computer, when I was like, you know, I don't know, 25 or whatever, I was like, I wonder if I could list all the women I've had sex with in Excel. And I found out I could, and it only took three or four cells. It was very, I remembered all of it, and there they were, and I was very sad and deleted it.
Yeah, it's a human thing. I've got some emergency questions. Yeah, people who are regular listeners to this will know that I have questions I ask all the time. Sometimes I can't think of anything. I'm not very good at this, interviewing people. Sometimes I just can't get to a point and think I can't think of anything to say. So what I've done this time is I've written some down. This is what I'm going to just go. I don't feel the need to do it because I've written these. I feel I should use them.
Okay.
I thought the conversation was going pretty well. But just checking my watch to see if we got only half an hour. Fuck. I'm going to ask one of my emergency questions. If you could have a hand made of ham or an armpit that dispensed sun cream, but you can only have one of those two things, and before you answer, NB, the ham would regenerate over a period of time after being eaten. So if you ate it, it wouldn't be the end of your hand, but also it wouldn't be like a limitless ham hand. It wouldn't be like you eat it and it was back immediately. You'd eat it and then maybe 5 days later the ham hand would be back. And also the sun cream in your armpit. You can only get one bottle a day out of that, so you can't start using... If you're thinking, well, I have the sun cream because I could sort of do a commercial sun cream. Which of those two? This is one of my emergency questions. They're very carefully calibrated because the answer we'll learn a lot psychologically. So a ham hand or a sun cream dispensing armpit?
My feeling is I would go with sun cream armpit because sun damage is a serious thing. I flew here today on Air New Zealand and those people are just monsters. Their skin, they're like lizard people. And so it highlighted for me the need to have access to sunscreen on a more regular basis. Right. And I could use that on my family. Like I have a baby. Yeah. And frankly, I let him run around. I don't care. He'll probably get burned terribly. If I had that, then I could help him. Yeah. But I'm not going to go to a store.
But the ham hand, you could feed your child with your
ham. This is true, but ham, here's the thing. Sunscreen, only good. You put it on and you're going to get less skin cancer. Ham is like, there's other food out there. No doctor is going to be like, he should have had more ham. You know? So that's where I stand on
good,
that.
That's a good question. That's a good question. We've learned that. So you got a good answer, didn't it? Because I usually ask, that's one of the questions I started using during the Edinburgh Fringe podcast, was have you ever seen a ghost?
Oh, I wish. I would love to. Yeah. I want to. I'm one of those people who absolutely would freak out with happiness if I saw one.
You might see that we're here in England because we have more history here. So there's more chance.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more chance. It goes back longer than America. What are you saying, the Native Americans? What do you mean? You might say, but my new question is, if you were a ghost and you became one,
yes,
and you realized you were a ghost, you'd be dead. What would be the first thing you would do with your ghostly powers?
I would immediately go to a women's locker room situation. Yeah. And spend like a decade there. Yeah. And then I would go try and help people.
But do you think when you become a ghost that you have ghostly genitals?
Because
when don't you think they've gone? When you become like
your head's there, and then it doesn't sort of taper off, and then it's just sort of a little sheet, and there's no legs,
like,
and no genitals.
I feel like you would still care, because here's the deal. Like, I'm 35. I jerk off less than I did when I was 18, but I still want to look at it all and, you know, smell it and tickle it, you know? So even if I don't necessarily have to, you know, seal the deal. So even as a ghost, I'd probably still be a little interested, but not a lot, just like 10 years. And then I could move on and save children from train accidents.
Would you try and get back to... Would you feel, if you were a ghost, that you were trapped on Earth for some reason and that you had to, you know, like Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap? Mm-hmm. And he's not a ghost, but that you would have to achieve something. You know, a better reference would have been Ghost, the film Ghost.
Yeah, I mean...
But let's go with Sam Beckett, because it's just better. Would you feel that you would? Would you try and find out what you needed to achieve?
Like, holy shit,
the little boy might be. I might have to help the little boy.
Yeah,
see ghosts.
I think that I would, because only because, like, vacations I can do for like 3 days, and then I'm like, all right, let's get back to work. So I would get bored quickly. And frankly, one of my greatest terrors is that I'll remain conscious after I die. Like, I really hope that my consciousness is totally obliterated, because the idea of being like a sentient being that, like, still measures time in the afterlife is like. I'd much, much, much rather be eaten by a shark.
It is kind of terrifying. That's why I don't really understand people who need the idea of an afterlife, is that it's much more terrifying, the idea of never ceasing to exist.
That's why sleep I love, and although I don't drink or do drugs anymore, one of my favorite things was when I'd be teetering on the edge of a blackout, and I'd think, like, oh, thank God I can end this all if I ever need to. Sorry, there's no punchline there. I've made some psycho-spiritual adjustments since then, you know, that allow me to continue. But, the idea of being a being like I am for eternity, no thanks.
I think chances are...
Yeah, they gotta be pretty slim. Right.
Well, like, you remember the 13 billion years before you existed?
Sure do.
Oh, do you? I think it'd be a bit like that again.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, those first 13 billion?
That's right, yeah.
No. I don't remember them. Do you remember 9/11, though? No. You remembered it before. Amazing how the memory works, isn't it? It just kind of comes and goes. I'll ask all my guests this. I did in the first series. I wasn't going to continue it to the second, but you're a big man, and I'm interested in the answer. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
Yes.
Yes.
Successfully. When I was like what? 8 or 9, I took Taekwondo, and that's a Korean martial art. And I could get just like the tip. I could like kiss it.
Yeah,
I could be like, good job, guy. Now I can't touch my toes, but when I was 9, I could kiss my penis.
So do you recommend Taekwondo as a way to?
If you're 8 or 9,
that,
definitely.
Yeah.
I can't. I guess theoretically, there's adults who could do that to themselves, but you know, you're risking. I don't know. You could slip a disc.
I think the danger of this conversation is that we're now giving advice to 8 or 9 year old boys about how to suck their own penis, which, you know, could be taken out. And in context, it was fine.
Right.
But if someone takes that out of context, said Richard and Rob Delaney recommended ways that 8 year old boys could suck their own cocks.
Yeah, don't feel. I just want to speak to the 8 year olds out there. Don't feel that you have to. Just if you want to, give it a shot. If not, don't. Don't feel any pressure, even from yourself. You know, if you don't want to put a penis in your mouth, you don't have to.
And you shouldn't really be listening to this.
Yeah. Now go.
Any of this.
Go play with a dog.
It's good. It's an interesting question, that as well. That's all my interesting questions. The other questions. Oh, no, what I wanted to ask you about was suing Kim Kardashian, who isn't a famous person over here. But
I'm so glad. Is that true?
Well, she's sort of getting there. Do people know she is, really? Yeah, no, see. Ugh. So it's kind of...
I heard was, yeah, I do, and I wish I didn't. That's the noise that you just made.
She's like in a reality TV show. She got married to someone for like 25 days.
Right, I sued her because she got married, and there were billboards all over town announcing the television show she was going to get married. And I don't watch the show, but you couldn't help it. I'd be driving to work, and I'd see the billboards. You'd go to buy your groceries, and you'd see the magazines at checkout. And you knew it was clearly a sham, and you were like, oh, I wonder when they'll get divorced, you know? And then they did, like, a few days later, and I was like, no, you can't. You have to stay married. So I sued her for $18 million, and as soon as I announced it, I wrote an open letter to her in a magazine, and immediately all these lawyers contacted me and were like, we want to help you pro bono. And all these people contacted me and were like, can you turn it into a class action lawsuit? And in the letter that I wrote her, I was like, look, Kim Kardashian, I don't hate you. I want you to be happy. I've been married for some years. I want you to know that joy, but you need to understand that sometimes it's hard, you know, and you got to stick it out. So you can either stay married and keep your money, or $18 million, which is what you were paid for this two-episode wedding. You give it to me, and I'll give it to my uncle, Randy, who lives in Rhode Island, and he's a drug dealer, but he'll use the money better than you would, you know? And so, and I, it, like, it's... So it wasn't malicious. It was funny because I would do like radio shows because I did radio and television in every English speaking country in the world after that because people were like, yeah, Stewart! And some like shitty sports radio DJs in the United States would be like, yeah, that bitch, you want to give her the smackdown? And I'd be like, no. I want people to understand that marriage is a serious thing. And like, I'd be like, they'd be like, so if you could tell her to fuck off, like if you like and slap her in the ass, I'd be like, no, I just don't think that she's made a wise decision. And I want to help her. Like, so it wasn't motivated by like hate, but, you know, I just, look, marriage is hard. That's good. It helps you grow as a person, you know? So aspects of it are fucking nightmarish, but a lot of it is really good. And I would like for her to experience that.
And have you won the money? Have you got it?
No,
have you been paid?
Didn't win.
Are you still carrying on with it, or have you just given up? Because I'm going to sue you for not following through on your...
A newspaper threatened to do that. The New York Observer, a real thing, said that they were going to do that. And anyway, no, it just takes a while, because once it becomes class action lawsuit, now it's the people's. So it's not up to me anymore.
Mitt Romney, who I can't...
Let's hear it from Mitt. What?
I mean, I don't know how much we do know about this subject. He's running for president.
I mean, to just put it into context for British folks, like, you guys have a National Health Service, right? Like, let's say you later tonight, you know, you're going to find some sores on your penis. You don't want them there. You're going to go to the doctor, and they're going to be like, sure, fix it. Whereas in the United States, you'd have to get a mortgage. And so Mitt Romney created a thing where in the state of Massachusetts, which happens to be where I grew up, you had to get insurance. And whereas in many parts of the country, you couldn't even, if you wanted to, pay for health insurance. Like, you'd be like, I would like to give you a lot of money every month for health insurance. They'd be like, no, you can't, because you have ovaries. Like, women, forget about it. So Mitt Romney created this thing called, like, Romney Care, you know, and now that he's running for president, he's like, I don't know if that was such a good idea. And so he's going to want to repeal what we call Obamacare, which is the requirement that everybody in the United States have health insurance, which is a pretty good idea for people to have. And so that's just one example of why I don't care for him.
Does you tweet him quite a lot?
All
you
actually every
tweet
day.
Him. Yeah.
Every does he, day.
Has he tweeted? Has he ever tweeted back?
He hasn't. He has not. The Obama campaign has reached out to me, but not the Romney campaign. My suspicion, because it's been written about in like Business Week magazine and some fairly large publications, is they're probably aware of it, but they have not reached out to me.
Okay.
I want to help him.
Do you think he is going to win and become the president?
No, he won't. Just because the economy is getting a little better, you know, and Obama's very... The thing is Obama over here would be, like, considered a right-wing nut job. He's like Ronald Reagan, whereas over there, people think he's on the left, and he super isn't. And he's so pro-corporate and all that. I mean, he's a millionaire, super disconnected from the people. But if, like, you and I are here, and then Obama's here, Mitt Romney's like, where are you? So I don't drink the Obama Kool-Aid, you know, but he just has some ideas that are better for example, a country.
But increasingly, I mean, that's what politics seems to be coming, is about rich people looking after their, certainly here in the UK, we've got people looking after the other rich people and their their other mates in the room. We had this interesting case like last week where one of the guys high up in the, what's this called, Mitchell, he was cycling out of of Downing Street, and the policeman wouldn't let him go through the gate, and which he usually does, and they said you have to walk through the side, you can't go through the main gate, we're not going to open it for you. And then he got very cross with them and called them plebs and said you should know your place. Which I think that's him using his indoor language that the Conservatives have. He's accidentally come outside. That's why Cameron was angry. He's going, you're only meant to say those things when we're inside 10 Downing Street, not the outside. So I don't know. I think he's kind of got away with it, though. I think this is the amazing thing with the news. It kind of, everyone goes, oh, this is awful. And then the next thing comes along.
Yeah.
Someone brings up Jimmy Savile, and then that's who.
Yeah, the thing with Romney, I mean, to make an analogous, it would be like, my motivation is to, like, hopefully one day have something. Because, like, you have the NHS here. Not perfect, but better than nothing, which is what so many millions of Americans have, is nothing, or less than nothing. The surgery on this wrist, I had to pay for with 3 credit cards. I mean, the amount of debt, I had to work for years to pay for all this stuff, you know? And so, I just would like to have a climate where people aren't afraid that if their daughter gets leukemia, that their life savings will be evaporated in, you know, a few minutes, which is what happens in the United States, and it's not funny.
No, well, there was good, because there was an interesting case with this is not funny either, in the case with the guy who shot all the people in the cinema.
What's not funny about that?
They didn't get to see the brilliant film. Imagine the end of the I've seen the end of it, and, you know, feel sorry for them. But there was a guy who's a young comedian who got shot in the head, and, you know, he's with a young wife just about to have her baby, and, you know, it's kind of amazing that's not covered. If that happened to you, if you're in America and you're shot in the head by a maniac in a cinema, the government won't go, oh, we'll pay for your...
Yeah, and I mean, not to get, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, but the thing is if people don't have to be terrified that a health situation can bankrupt them, then they'll focus their energies in other areas. Whereas, like, in the United States, you'll stay in a job that you hate for 25 years just to keep health insurance for your kids, because you get it through your jobs in the United States. And if you were like, no, actually, I can go invent that amazing thing now that I'm not shackled to my job anymore, it's, like, good for the economy to have your people be healthy, I read in a study.
Going to ask you an emergency question. Can't think of anything else. What is your favourite cheese?
Oh, you
good
know,
question.
Are you ready for it?
I wrote that out in advance.
The best cheese. The best cheese I've ever had. Is when I lived in France. Would have been like unpasteurized camembert.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anything where you can get sick and die is the best, especially so cheese. Look,
you thought it wasn't a good question, but by putting that
I've made
Rob reveal something I didn't know. You used to live in France.
I would do a podcast exclusively about cheese.
No, you used to live in France.
I did. Did I not say that earlier?
Yeah, no. Just said it just now, didn't he? Did he say it before? Oh, fuck off. I can't listen to it all. Where did you... When we were talking about the school kids, was it?
The teacher's daughter.
I was just fantasizing about running off with my teacher. I'm not sick. It's all right the other way around. I could do it now. No one would matter if I ran off with Mrs. DeCamp now. People would say, why is that man running around where that 64-year-old woman was? But no one would mind. Wouldn't get in the papers. I didn't learn anything from the cheese question.
The cheese.
Do you have Nando's in America?
Nando's. Mm-mm.
Can't ask the Nando's question. This might have got a new Nando's question. Have you ever been to Portugal?
Here's a serious question. I'm going to answer that question. Good question.
Okay.
Has anyone ever been to Portugal?
Yeah.
Is Portugal real?
I don't know, I've never been. Is anyone in the... I heard someone saying yes in the audience, but only one person.
Okay.
And not, have you been to Nando's and eaten some Portuguese chicken? Which is why I was doing it. That doesn't count. That is not... It's not like an embassy, Nando's. It's not like you go into Nando's. Do you like... I was going to ask what heat sauce you had on your Nando's.
What heat sauce?
Yeah.
I bet pretty hot.
Yeah,
I like
it's
hot
extra
sauce.
Hot.
Is extra hot real hot?
Yeah, but then there's now... There's one that's hotter than that.
Oh, I mean, that's
what
just...
I have.
Look at you.
Yeah. I've got an advertising slogan for Nando's I'm trying to popularise and get them to use it. It's, if it's not extra hot, then you're a twat.
I like that.
Yeah. Can you use that, Nando's, have it for free. You used to work in advertising, so you know that's a good
thing. Oh, yeah, no, that rolls right off the tongue. I live in Los Angeles, which is in Southern California, which is right by Mexico, so our Mexican food there is unbelievable. So I'm constantly slathering myself in hot sauce.
Yeah. But I've got older now, and I can't... Mm-hmm. If I eat hot food too late, I can't...
Real trouble.
Yeah, it's bad for me.
Yeah.
I wake up early.
Nightmares.
You're still a young man, you're lucky. I'll ask you one of my other... This is my favourite emergency question I've come up with, just because... There's no answer to this question that will last for more than one word. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
No.
That's anything, if I ever could see a Bigfoot or a zombie or anything, I'd be so happy.
Not a zombie, that'd be terrifying.
It would be, but you know how people are like, ugh, enough with the zombies in movies and TV shows now? I'm like, nowhere near enough with the zombies. Anything zombies, I'm in. So if there were, I'm like somewhat way too ready for a zombie apocalypse. I'm a student of the zombie.
Would you like to become a zombie, though, or would you like to escape a zombie?
No, I wouldn't at all. Although, I was thinking the other day, like, if you were there, like, right when somebody got bit by a zombie, and they went into the pre-zombie coma, and they were really beautiful, and they wouldn't let you have sex with them in real life, could you have sex with them before they fully transformed? Would you have time? We may never know.
And ethically, you know, is it...
Yeah.
You know, if someone's a zombie, have they...
Yeah.
Because I also do ask, this is my regular question... If you had to have sex with an animal,
yes.
If you had to, mm-hmm. And maybe a zombie would count. What animal would you have sex with if you had to?
Whichever one had a body hole that wouldn't, you know. Listen, I would be most concerned for the animal itself. Whatever I could fuck without it being hurt or killed. I understand that they might be like, "Why are you fucking me?" Right? Like we can't. It's going to be upset, but. I would like it to not die or even get hurt. So probably some big, huge thing that could kill me, which I would deserve. If you fucking, I would fuck an animal that anything that could not get hurt and would then be like, all right, buddy, and then kill me after it was done. And hopefully I'd make it come.
It's the nicest answer. I've asked like 25 comedians now that question. I think only one other person has thought about the actual animal's feelings.
That's
nice.
That's just monster. I mean, you don't have sex with an animal. Jesus,
people. It's a different culture. You can't come over to our country and start judging with your ethics. And start telling us what we're doing is wrong.
I'm not going to say I stand corrected. I stand chastened.
You're the one who wants to have sex with a woman who's not quite a zombie.
Well,
you said she wouldn't have sex with you, and then she's becoming a zombie, and then you have sex with her. It's like using that moment to get in there and go.
It's opportunity when opportunity knocks. When life hands you a lemon, zombie woman, make love to her. Okay.
And on a serious note... Well, no, because you seem a very happy man.
I feel happy.
Everything seems very together for you. It's very unusual for comedians. But you do talk about, again, in this Guardian article, you talked about being depressed and suicidal a couple
of
times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I do. I take medication for depression. After I've been sober for 10 years, and after about a year, after all my surgeries, after all my legal difficulties were passed and everything, and I could finally, like, breathe again, I went into a big depression, which I've heard is not uncommon for people after they quit, you know, a career of substance abuse. So, and it runs in my family a lot too, alcoholism and depression of varying levels. And so, yeah, so I got very, very badly depressed, and I had to, I was going to a psychologist. She suggested I go to a psychiatrist, and everybody was like, you should consider medication. And I was like, no, I'm sure I'll be fine. And then I'd be like, you know, in a corner of a bus. And then I took the medication and it made me feel a whole lot better. Because previously, when I was depressed, my mind was just saying, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself, which grows tiring. And so, and a lot of physical pain accompanied. I mean, the symptoms physically of real bad depression are pretty weird. You know, your body just hurts all the time. And like the first thing I'd do when I would wake up is just throw up. I'd wake up in the morning and go throw up after having not slept much. So it was really awful. So I started taking medication, and then that just, I was worried, especially like creatively. I was like, oh, well, I won't be funny anymore. I won't be fun to be around. I won't be able to, you know, weave tapestries of story that people will wish to wrap themselves in. And the fact is that I could when I took the medication because I was still alive, and it allowed me access to feelings of, like, you know, occasional happiness, you know, focus. I was could be of use to friends and family. I could still get sad, but I wouldn't. It wouldn't be like irredeemable. redeemable, you know.
Yeah.
So yes.
Don't you think being a comedian is a pretty depressing job, though? If you're prone to depression, is being a comedian the best thing you can be?
Yeah, there are elements of it. But I think good comedy, there's alchemy in it, and you take the dark and the horror and turn it into good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we might talk about crazy bonkers, and we have been for an hour. You know what I mean? But if people can leave here and feel a little better, then what better thing could we ever do? I can't think of anything.
No, I suppose. But it is, you know, I mean, there's been times I've never been depressed on that mm-hmm. level, but I found it, you know, it's a hard job. You're saying you're away from your family, family, mm-hmm. And that's a very hard thing to cope with. It's nice to know you've got that to go back to, I suppose. I guess I found it harder when I was single and now on the road and there was nothing in my life. That's quite a depressing thing to.
What I try to do is balance it. You know, I'll tell you, I had the very good fortune to meet Bill Cosby recently. Right. He's an American comedian. He had a show. Anyway. And I met him and we were talking. It was me, my wife, and him. And we talked for like 15 minutes. And he made me say, he said, so like, what would you say the top priority in your life is? He asked me. And I was like, well, my family. And then like, I giggled. And then because I was in his presence. And I was like, comedy. He's like, no, say it again and don't laugh. And I was like, my family. He's like, pause. And then he's like, and then comedy. And I was like, and then comedy. He's like, do it again. And and so he made me literally repeat this in front of my wife three times, that my family was more important and then comedy. He even was like, comedy's way off in the distance. You can barely see, you know. And he's like, if you keep that in that order, then you can be happy and you can make a lot of comedy for a long time. And I was like, but I try not to, like, because it would be easy to be like, yeah, I just want to fuck them. I'm going to go do comedy. Or it would be also easy to just stay nuzzled in a little bed with them and while bookers are calling, being like, no, I want to smell my family. You know, so I try to do both. You know what I mean? I'm a lot funnier since I've been married and become a dad because I just have more life, you know? Yeah. But then also I'm able to feed them with comedy, you know, better than when I worked in like a call center being like, do you want to buy a very shitty newspaper? And people would be like, no, I don't. And I'd be like, of course you don't. Thank you. And like you know, they're working in a furniture warehouse, which is a fine thing to do. But after a certain point, I knew where all the furniture went and had learned the interior of the whole warehouse. You know, so it's like, I try to be comfortable with the tension of being a family man and a comedian crazy person. And if I can be comfortable with that tension and know that it always will be tension, and not bad tension, but it'll be a dynamic force. I'm imagining a glowing rope for some reason. I don't know why. If I can be cool with that, then I think it'll be good. To date, it is. Yeah. We'll see. Everything could change tomorrow.
You know, Bill Cosby isn't a real doctor. Just throw that at you. So that might throw it all out. And if you had a ham hand, your children could eat. Give a man a piece of ham, his family will eat for a day. Give a man a ham hand. That's what I say. Does your wife, because you are quite honest, or, you know, you joke quite openly about marriage and the ups and downs
yes.
of it. Does your wife, because my wife, and she'll kill me now for even mm-hmm. saying this, doesn't like it when I joke about things like that.
Here's what I'll say. My wife is extremely funny, and she's very smart. And so she won't get mad at me if I, like, I have a new joke that I'm doing now where I talk about not her vagina as it actually is, but I say, like, I was worried. I'm talking about childbirth. And I say, like, I was worried that when I looked at her vagina after she had her first baby that it was going to look like a billowing ham blanket held together with staples and yarn. And I said to her, I was like, that was the only time I've ever gone to her, be like, can I say that? And she's like, well, then you say how it's not. It's totally fucking tight and awesome, right? And I was like, yes. And she was like, yeah, then say it. I want people to know that my vagina's excellent. And so she would get angrier at me if I told like a lazy joke than she would if it was incredibly filthy. If it was like really filthy and disgusting but had like elaborate moving parts and punchlines and then the great. But if I was like, you know, this guy, she'd be like, fuck you, you idiot. Tighten it up. So I actually trust her comedic taste pretty implicitly.
Yeah.
She's a terrible person.
And look, unfortunately, this is the point where it usually gets interesting in an interview, because we get over the hour mark and then it goes on for about 10 minutes and it's a bit uncomfortable. The man went off just to remind himself about 9/11. And then it gets really funny again. But I'm conscious that you have to go and do an actual show. I'm so grateful for you for coming and doing this, because Rob is doing another show in 45 minutes at the Soho Theatre and has literally just arrived in the country. So will you please give it up for my fantastic first guest, Rob Delaney, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listening to Richard Herring's Left to Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Rob Delaney. It was produced by Ben Walker. The music was by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark from the British Comedy Guide and Ian Tunes from iTunes. This is a Sky Potato and Fuzz production for the internet. It's free. Tell your friends. How'd you like them Sky Potatoes? I hope you enjoyed the podcast. It is free, as I mentioned there. If you want to give something back, that would be lovely. You can come and see one of the forthcoming shows at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's tickets for all of them. Got some fantastic guests coming up. Or you can come and see me on tour. I'll be touring in October, November, and then through February through June, right around the UK. Go to richardherring.com and you can see all the details of that. Or go to gofasterstripe.com, where you can buy DVDs like What Is Love Anyway, Fist of Fun, the popular 1990s series. The second series of that is just about to come out. You can pre-order that. You can buy the book, Talking Cock. Anything like that, that would be lovely. Or if you don't want to do any of those things, why not just tell any of your friends who you think might enjoy this show and tune in next week. I love you. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.